You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Sunday's racing. We've got two races at Market Racing to look at, as well as two at Ripon. But first we're going to have a little chat about the week that has preceded this podcast, because we've had some fantastic racing, haven't we, Mick?
Yeah, it's been really good stuff at York all week, and plenty of eye catches, plenty of horses to go into, various notebooks, etc. And I just think it was a really good week.
Yeah. Of course, you do work at York when you're not here. You were there for all 3 days of the Dante Festival. And we'll start just by looking at yesterday's action, because Mark Johnston had a four-timer, Mick. In my lifetime, I've never seen him have four winners at York, I don't think, in total. He's usually associated with, for whatever reason, not doing well on the Knavesmire, but put that theory firmly to bed yesterday, didn't he?
It certainly did. It was a terrific day for the stable, wasn't it? They got off the mark with Delizia, who'd been well back to make a winning debut, made no mistake as she stepped up in grade into listed company, and that just got the set the ball rolling. The one to take out of that race is White Bullet, the third.
Kevin Ryan's newcomer.
Absolutely clueless at the start. She's from the family of Camelot, you know.
Okay.
And wherever she goes next, you've got to be with her.
She went for a run up the rail, didn't she? Got blocked, ended up coming sort of widest of all, but still managed to be between horses, wasn't given the hardest ride, and ran on for third.
No, Danny looked after her.
Yeah.
And she'll repay the kindness sooner rather than later. You know, she could well be Queen Mary filly.
She did look a lovely, lovely type.
Yeah.
As for the big race yesterday, the Yorkshire Cup went the way of Snow Sky, who, would you say, out-battled Brown Panther up the straight?
I just thought it was strange tactics on Brown Panther over a trip short of his best. I know he had the Group 1 penalty, but why didn't they just let him bowl?
You've got a horse with proven stamina who needed rousting along for 2 furlongs before he got any response anyway. Then it looked like he was coming to win it, but there's no need for him to try and outpace horses when you know that he stays. I don't see...
Why not ride him like they rode him in Dubai?
Yeah, I agree.
Alex.
I agree.
And I think that contributed to it anyway. I don't think he lost anything in defeat, to be honest. But,
no, Snow Sky ran a cracker.
Yeah.
Under a good ride as well from Ryan Moore. The disappointment in that race, without doubt, Romsdal, who has got some fantastic form from last year, placed in the Derby and the Ledger, but was definitely below par yesterday.
Yeah, he looked fine in the paddock. I thought... The change tactics on him, he'd started to make the running, hadn't he? And they dropped him in again. It was strange. It was as if they were all watching one another. But fair play to Snow Sky. But a tremendous run, though, by Brown Panther, giving Snow Sky, you know, the four-year-old, all of that weight. And, and the Van der Beek got closer to Brown Panther than he did in the Dubai race, which augurs well for his season.
Just going back to Mark Johnston. There's no reason why he shouldn't have winners at York,
no,
is there?
No, the track looks tailor-made for his horses, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of... He has a lot of front-runners. Front-runners typically do fairly well at York. It's not the easiest place to make ground up from last to first anyway.
Yeah.
And also Sylvester D'Souza, we mentioned this out in the office earlier, I think he rides York as good as, if not better, than most.
Yeah.
There's only two or three I'd put up there with him.
Yeah, and he's on a real roll at the moment, isn't he? He's riding as well as anybody.
And another winner for Matt Johnson, I think at Newbury, was it? On Newmarket as well, on the day. So he's clearly in rampant form.
The winner of race two, notarised, he can never get to the front. He's a confirmed front runner, but he could never get to the front. That was a really good staying performance to eat the banging from Crocomosh, who did get to the front, which is where he prefers to be.
Yeah.
But that's the best race he's ever run in a double-figure field, Crockenbush.
Crockenbush is a lovely, lovely horse.
So he's the horse on a roll as well.
Yeah, he is. A horse I've followed for a while and missed out last time because it was first time up this season. Didn't think he would be fit enough, and he was, and he's taken that and gone with it and improved.
And Notarized proved that he's not ground-dependent, so we can see him heading for Royal Ascot. But the Mark Johnson winner that particularly took my eye, in the paddock certainly, was Indescribable, who bombed out big time on two of his on his two starts in 2015, but a lovely-looking horse. And I remember seeing him doing the paddock commentary that he wouldn't be the first Mark Johnson horse to just come back to form in a bang after looking out of form. They're somehow just capable of doing that, and he's run a fantastic race in a very good time as well, 58.21, which I think is only just below standard, and only just above standard, I should say.
Yes, just. Yeah.
But it was a cracking effort by Indescribable, and just typified the day for them. Mm. Must give a word to Sammy Joe Bello. I thought gave Dusky Queen a fantastic ride to double up in the Phillies handicap at 4:50. Waited with her, and once she said go, Dusky Queen was good. Just went.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
It was a good move by Richard Fye to put the to put Sammy Joe on to take off the five, because she was £4 higher than winning it last year under Ryan Moore. Mm-hmm. And that just made the difference, didn't it?
And she's got a superb record at York, hasn't she, Sammy Jo Bell?
She certainly has, yeah. Yeah.
To the point where you'd imagine, strike rate-wise, she must be up there with... I know she wouldn't have had that many rides, but still, she's had enough for you to form an opinion that
absolutely.
She's...
Absolutely. I bet it's 50%.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Something like 3 from 6 or something like that, so...
And it looks as though Richard is saving her claim for these sort of occasions as well.
And doing it very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mentioned you were there for all 3 days.
Yeah.
Any other eye-catchers? Another one we were talking about in the office was Irene, Kevin Ryan's newcomer on the Wednesday. That won a novice stakes on debut, beating Ravenhoe, who, of course, was the Brocklesby winner. Granted, was receiving £10 there, and Ravenhoe didn't do much wrong, but a really smart performance on debut from the Ryan horse.
It certainly was. I mean, he was lucky in the fact that he only had 3 rivals to beat, which probably did help. But the 3 rivals had all had previous experience.
Mark Johnson, Richard Hannon, Richard Farr, he trains.
Exactly.
You can't be much more solid than that. You wouldn't have thought.
It was a lovely horse in the paddock. I really liked him in the paddock. And, I think he's a horse who's going to go on to better things. Kevin often introduces his best 2-year-olds on the Nearsmeyer. And that was another potential star he's got in the yard.
Any other eye catchers that you want to throw up, maybe for the future, or just from a fantastic performance from the week at York?
Yeah, in the maiden 2-year-old on the Thursday, the race was won by Seastrom for Godolphin, Charlie Appleby's horse. But the third, Sir Roger Moore. I mean, if ever a horse did everything wrong in a race in the first half of the race, and did everything right in the second half of the race, it was he. He missed the break, he got himself unbalanced, then he started to pull like a train. Frankie was having a terrible time trying to just even get him to drop his head. His head was stuck up in the air. Mm. And you thought, well, especially with Charlie Hills has been out of form, I think they've gone something like 54 runners or something without a winner. You thought, well, this is going to finish tailed off. Then, lo and behold, about a furlong out, you just saw him looming up there. Mm. And he threw down a challenge. He was only beaten a neck and a length and a quarter in the end by Seastrom and Tower Call. And, with that under his belt, he had the look of a Coventry horse to me.
Okay.
Stuart Machin's already rehearsing his ad-lib for when he passes the post in the Coventry. I think Shaken Not Stirred is favourite at the moment. But, smashing performance by Sir Roger Moore. The Fire newcomer, another touch, another one who wants to go into your notebooks as well. And there'll be plenty of winners come out of that. It was a really good quality race. Kevin Ryan's Blue Humour, Mark Johnson's Ode to Evening. The whole field will be winning sooner rather than later. But the one that really caught my eye was Sir Roger Moore.
Okay. Interesting, of course, when trainers do bring horses up to York from down south. In the Newmarket maidens, you know that there's going to be a lot of lurkers in there, a lot of horses that are going to forge good careers for themselves. At York, it's sort of, you do get the odd bad one in there almost.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad maiden as such, but just horses that maybe they're northern trainers think should be there. And then
they're running at York because the owners want a day out at York and stuff like that.
But you do get the odd.
But you get the odd feel and you just go, wow. And they're flashing past me. I know I'm working off pictures, not seeing them in the flesh, but I can go, wow. You know, and two-year-old after two-year-old at York were impressing me, not only with their appearance, but their demeanour as well. They're all so laid back and they look like all hands, and I'd love to see that in a two-year-old making their debut.
Okay. Right, we'll move on to Sunday's action then, and we're going to start with two races over the jumps at Market Raisin. We've got a hurdle and a chase to look forward to before we move on to two races at Ripon. And we'll start with a 3:40 from Market Raisin. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and five furlongs. Nine runners down to go to post for this one, Mick. And it's a really open race.
Yeah, I think the market might revolve around Tiger O'Toole, though. It looks as though somehow Henry Oliver has found the key to this horse, because he was a very good horse in his day, hasn't he? But lost his way completely for Evan Williams in the first half of last year. Something must have been on him, because he's won 8 of his 37. He's no mug, this horse, and he never has been. But he just completely lost the plot. But first time up for Henry Oliver, he was backed accordingly. And he bolted, I think it was at Carlisle, wasn't it? Was it Carlisle?
Last time out.
Tiger O'Toole.
Yes, it was. Beating Bryden Boy.
And he was up 9 for that. But when you think he was rated 134 at his best, he's still going to be running off 119. We know he's very effective going right-handed. And if he's in the same form, which he's had plenty of time to recover from that after all that time off. 33 days, so there shouldn't be the dreaded bounce factor to factor in. He's going to be very, very hard to beat. And when you look at the opposition, I think they're beatable. One for Hockey comes here in good form, goes well right-handed, not beaten both starts, not beaten far both starts off his new mark after rattling up that that double at Musselburgh, suggesting the mark may not be on him, but I think he'll be playing second fiddle to Tiger O'Toole. The other one of note is Palm Grey, trained by Sue Smith. I think I'm going to forgive the run at Ayr last time. He was ridden by an inexperienced amateur. And when I say inexperienced amateur, put that in capital letters.
Right.
Sean Quinlan takes over here, and it wouldn't be the first time that one of Sue's has bounced back from a modest. And he looked very good at Hexham in March when he bolted up there the time before. And it was quicker ground at Ayr, I know, but even so. It's the first time he's gone right-handed, which might be a concern. We won't know till the day, but he's certainly better than the market's going to have him, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But Tiger O'Toole on that Carlisle evidence, it's going to be very hard to beat.
Okay. So Tiger O'Toole, hard to get away from in the 3:40. The 4:10 from Market Raisin is next up, a handicap chase over 2 miles and two furlongs. Only the 7 go to post, but that doesn't make it much easier, Mick.
No, I think the top end of the handicap, though, is the place to concentrate on, though. We've got my brother Sylvester heading the weights. Consistency has never been his strongest point, but absolutely nothing wrong with his last two efforts. Close defeats as well, and he certainly deserves a change of look. So the handicapper predictably hits him with a £3 weight rise, leaving him vulnerable again. So I'll have to overlook him. The vote's going to go to So On Target, who at least now is mark. He suffered for that Cheltenham win in December, but his mark is now back out of the 140s. He's off 139. And back in trip again, back to something like that Cheltenham trip. Back in the 130s, back in trip. They're the two positives. And a repeat of his Cheltenham Class 2 December win. And remember, this is a Class 3. Will make him very, very hard to beat. And he should be a decent price as well, because I think the market will be all over Le Bacardi, who's won 7 of his 24. Just failed to beat Anne Terge last time. And it looks as though the Skeletons are getting the hang of him, but his mark's crept back up to 135. Mm. That means he's got nothing in hand again. But he's still a player, but he's got nothing in hand.
Okay.
So I'm just looking to soar on target to come back to something like that December form, Alex.
Okay. So on target, the pick in Market Raisins 410. We're going to move to the flat now. And Rippon's 315, which is a filly's handicap over 6 furlongs. 9 runners got a post, and some informed fillies here, Mick.
Definitely. And I think there's a Weatherby race that 3 weeks ago at the first Weatherby meeting that's the key to this. It was won by Ridge Ranger. Secret Hint was second. Hopes and Dreams was fifth. And they all reoppose here. Now, I think one of the key factors is that Hopes and Dreams came out next time and won a Hamilton, giving the form of the Weatherby contest a boost. Secret Hint is a lot better off with Ridge Ranger than she was at Weatherby. I think she'll get the she should get the a revenge over Ridge Ranger. Although once Eric Alton start improving, you never know when they're going to stop. But her mark is back into the is into the 80s, so further progress is required. Secret Hint, same mark as that reappearance run, and is now, as I say, better off with Ridge Ranger. The fifth has given a boost to the form, Hopes and Dreams, and hopefully she can go one better. I am afraid of Hopes and Dreams, though. She's still a player because her confidence will have been boosted by that win.
Yeah.
And it's worth remembering that she's won off 87 in the past.
Yeah, so this mark of 86, not beyond her.
Absolutely. So I think she's the big danger to Secret Hint, but Secret Hint, I think, will have come on sufficiently for that Weatherby run to win this against her own sex.
Okay, Secret Hint, the pick in the 3.15. The final race that we're going to look at is Rippon's 3.50, a handicap over a mile with 8 runners down to go to post, and 8 runners that we know almost everything about, Mick.
Yes, no secrets lurking here, are they? We've got an age range as well. We've got 11-year-old, 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 2 7-year-olds, a 6-year-old, and a smattering of 4-year-olds. So there's bags of experience, as you might say. I'll go through them in race card order, and again, I think it revolves around the top end of the handicap. And 2 for 2 is going to be the selection, trained by David O'Mara. Danny Tudup taking the ride. Should be all the better for that reappearance in the Thurs Conk Cup. The stable were in fine form at York this week, and he can improve enough to post what will have to be actually a career best. But there was a lot to like about that reappearance in the Thurs Conk Cup, and this is a lot easier. The Thurs Conk Cup form did take a knock with the second disappointing at York in the week, but Fort Bastion, who finished further behind, he ran a mighty race, so I'm not knocking the Thurs Conk Cup form at all. Sound Advice, he was the winner of the Thurs Conk Cup. He's gone up 6 for that. As I say, the second disappointing at York, but Fort Bastion didn't let the form down. He takes his mark to 93, but he has won in the 90s in the past, Sound Advice. And again, once Keith Dalglish's start improving, you never know when they're going to stop, do you? So, you know, I respect his chances. I think the Thurs Conk Cup is the key to this. The other one is Wild Inspiration, who improved for the step up to a mile, only £4 higher than Haydock, and ought to be competitive again off a mark of 90. Mm. Improved from his debut, which was a good enough run anyway, pinpointed himself as a soon-to-be winning horse, and he won't give it up easily. It's very tough between the three for me. I think it's hard. Well, I could make a case out for the rest, but I do think the race revolves around those three. So, despite the small field, just the dead eight, let's hope they all go. It's no easier, but I think 2 for 2 should come on sufficiently to win it.
Okay, 2 for 2 then for the O'Meara team in the 3.50 from Rippon. Great stuff, Mick. Thanks for your time. Best luck with those picks on Sunday, and enjoy the action.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.